fought with pure energy, being utterly invulnerable to pain or even grave wounds, which reinforced the superstitions about their superhuman powers. The theory, according to which Vedimins were said to have been the products of mutation or genetic engineering, has not found confirmation. Vedimins are the heroes of numerous Nordling tales. Compare F. Delannoy, Myths and Legends of the Nordlings, Effenberg and Talbot, Encyclopedia Maxima Mundi, Volume 15. Chapter 1. When talking to youngsters entering the service, Applegat usually told them that in order to make their living as mounted messengers, two things would be necessary: a head of gold and an arse of iron. A head of gold is essential, Applegat instructed the young messengers, since in the flat leather pouch strapped to his chest beneath his clothing, the messenger only carries news of less vital importance, which could, without fear, be entrusted to treacherous paper or manuscript. The really important, secret tidings, those on which a great deal depended, must be committed to memory by the messenger and only repeated to the intended recipient, word for word, and at times those words are far from simple, difficult to pronounce, let alone remember. In order to memorize them and not make a mistake when they are recounted, one has to have a truly golden head. And the benefits of an arse of iron? Oh, every messenger will swiftly learn those for himself. When the moment comes for him to spend 3 days and nights in the saddle, riding 100 or even 200 miles along roads or sometimes, when necessary, trackless terrain, then it is needed. No, of course, you don't sit in the saddle without respite. Sometimes you dismount and rest. For a man can bear a great deal, but a horse less. However, when it's time to get back in the saddle after resting, it's as though your arse were shouting, "Help! Murder!"
"But who needs mounted messengers now, Master Applegat?"
young people would occasionally ask in astonishment.
"Take Vengerberg to Vichima. No one could knock that off in less than 4 or even 5 days, even on the swiftest steed. But how long does a sorcerer from Vengerberg need to send news to a sorcerer from Vichima? Half an hour or not even that. A messenger's horse may go lame, but a sorcerer's message always arrives. It never loses its way. It never arrives late or gets lost. What's the point of messengers if there are sorcerers everywhere, at every kingly court? Messengers are no longer necessary, Master Applegat." For some time, Applegat had also been thinking he was no longer of any use to anyone. He was 36 and small, but strong and wiry, wasn't afraid of hard work, and had, naturally, a head of gold. He could have found other work to support himself and his wife, to put a bit of money by for the dowries of his two as yet unmarried daughters, and to continue helping the married one whose husband, the sad loser, was always unlucky in his business ventures. But Applegat couldn't and didn't want to imagine any other job. He was a royal mounted messenger, and that was that. And then, suddenly, after a long period of being forgotten and humiliatingly idle, Applegat was once again needed, and the highways and forest tracks once again echoed to the sound of hooves. Just like the old days, messengers began to travel the land, bearing news from town to town. Applegat knew why. He saw a lot and heard even more. It was expected that he would immediately erase each message from his memory once it had been given, that he would forget it so as to be unable to recall it even under torture. But Applegat remembered. He knew why kings had suddenly stopped communicating with the help of magic and sorcerers. The news that the messengers were carrying was meant to remain a secret from them. Kings had suddenly stopped trusting sorcerers, stopped confiding their secrets in them. Applegat didn't know what had caused this sudden cooling off in the friendship between kings and sorcerers, and wasn't overly concerned about it. He regarded both kings and magic users as incomprehensible creatures, unpredictable in their deeds, particularly when times were becoming hard. And the fact that times were now hard could not be ignored, not if one travelled across the land from castle to castle, from town to town, from kingdom to kingdom. There were plenty of troops on the roads. With every step one came across an infantry or cavalry column, and every commander you met was edgy, nervous, curt,